This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, December 22nd, 2017. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, the European Court of Justice rules that Uber is a transportation company, not just an app. Labour supports the rights of millions of migrants, and the Labour Start report about union events around the world. This is Radio Labour. The top European court has ruled that Uber is a taxi company which has employees, not partners. C-Marie Ainsborough reports.
The ride-providing company Uber has been dealt a major blow by Europe's highest court. The European Court of Justice has ruled that Uber must comply with the region's tough transportation rules. The court sided with the traditional taxis, saying that since Uber holds strict control over how drivers use its technology, the company must be considered a transport service. Uber often describes its drivers as partners, able to set their own hours. But the GMB union in the UK doesn't agree that the drivers are partners. Steve Gerlich is the secretary of the professional drivers branch of the GMB.
This term partners seems to be a very loose thing. The driver is often promised a great deal and not necessarily always receiving what they would expect. And it's very easy to say drivers are partners, but when you suddenly find yourself switched off from a platform and you don't have a reason why you've been switched off on the platform, that doesn't necessarily speak to a partnership in my view. It speaks to something a little bit more lopsided. Drivers are not necessarily their own boss, because if a driver declines a journey for a company, the driver can be deactivated on the company very, very easily. If a driver has an argument with somebody, which maybe only one side is heard, then frankly they could still be deactivated. It's like saying somebody who's employed has an argument with their boss one morning and suddenly their key card won't let them into the office building because they had an argument. Nobody would stand for that in an employed situation. Why should they stand for that in any other situation? The reality of the matter is that if you are starting to give people a framework to work within and an expected framework, that starts to become a work situation, a worker situation, rather than just a straight employed situation. And that's not just for Uber drivers, that's pretty much for anyone embarking on a similar type of contract throughout the United Kingdom. And then saying that you can come and go as you please is not strictly speaking true. If you turn down a couple of jobs with Uber, then you're sin-binned. You're basically stopped from working for a set period of time. Now, I don't know any situation where an employer would go to somebody and say, you know what, I'm going to take you away from your keyboard for 20 minutes because you failed to do what I've asked you to do. It wouldn't be acceptable in any location. So Uber's modus operandi is very, very questionable.
One of the complaints Uber drivers have is that the company changes its rates according to demand, and so the drivers do not know how much they will be paid.
And part of the problem also is down to operators deciding how much they will charge, rather than having converse. If you're having a contract with somebody, you would expect in a contractual situation that an individual would discuss a rate and agree a rate to work with. You wouldn't expect that the person who's giving you that contract to drop the rate without any discussion with the drivers whatsoever. Because frankly, seeing a rate drop of 30 to 50% as you're seeing somewhere in the industry is wholly unacceptable.
December 18th is International Migrants Day, a day set aside by the United Nations to remind people about the plight of migrants around the world and the economic contributions they make to host countries. The UN's International Labour Organization estimates that there are about 232 million international migrants in the world. Some countries have millions of migrant workers amongst their populations. The United States, for example, is estimated to have about 43 million migrant workers, 11 million of whom are undocumented. Fighting for the rights of migrant workers at the global level is the International Trade Union Confederation. The ITUC represents national union centers, such as the AFL-CIO in the U.S. and the Ghana Trades Union Congress. Sharon Burrow is the General Secretary of the ITUC.
There can be no doubt that migrant rights, issues for migrant workers, human rights, labour rights, these issues remain central and unresolved in the 21st century, and that must be redressed. If you gathered all the migrant workers together, then in fact they would make up about the fifth most populous nation. workers who leave their own country, sometimes permanently, sometimes temporarily, too many of them abused, denied rights, but to actually contribute both socially and economically to the countries of other people, or indeed to their adopted nations for those who take up residency and citizenship. We have a central obligation to these people, these brothers and sisters who work alongside of us everywhere. For the trade union, it's simple. A worker is a worker is a worker wherever they are in the world, and they deserve equal treatment. Internationally, nationally, at regional level, leaders must take responsibility for collective action, for coordinated action around the rights of migrant workers. You can't do this at the national level alone, although at the national level, all nations must respect the conventions, both the UN Convention and the ILO conventions that drive workers' rights. We want these conventions ratified. We want national governments to take responsibility for establishing the laws that actually provide for rights, for justice in terms of fair wages and conditions, and of course for appropriate dispute settling mechanisms. There must be fundamental rights. No worker can be abused. No worker can be excluded from fair wages and conditions, from collective bargaining, from a decent minimum wage, from social protection.
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labour Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the average of 280 news stories added to our site each day last week. Our top stories section included links to coverage of a global solidarity campaign in support of locked-out airport workers in Fiji, an attack on independent unions by the official unions affiliated with the Cambodian government, and the trial of former Ford Argentina managers who identified union activists for torture and death by that country's military dictatorship in the 1970s. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Nigerian oil workers downed tools in response to announced layoffs. College lecturers took a day off work to protest the Pakistani government's failure to implement an agreement on service structure. Striking over job cuts were Israeli pharmaceutical workers who occupied their workplace and barricaded themselves in. The Kazakh miners who had refused to come to the surface ended their strike as they were promised a wage increase and negotiations began on their other demands. Palm oil harvesters in Honduras were off the job to back their demand that their employer recognize the union of their choice. And doctors in the Solomon Islands struck non-emergency work for a day to protest the slow speed of negotiations with their government. The union commenced bargaining over a decade ago. Our top working women stories included coverage of the opening of a resource center for domestic workers, almost all of them migrants, in Singapore, the lack of social supports for women workers in Japan who wish to start a family, and the public apology and compensation given a Canadian firefighter after her 12-year-long struggle to prove active sexual harassment and discrimination at work. The Health and Safety Newswire, we run in cooperation with Hazards Magazine, carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the retail union campaign to put a stop to the harassment of shop workers by customers in Australia, the suffocation deaths of 8 workers at an Indonesian sand quarry, a memorial service for sex workers killed and injured on the job in the United States, and finally, a report which concluded that Latin America is the most dangerous continent for journalists. Currently, Labour Start is running 7 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labour Start, reporting for Radio Labour.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Radio Labor will be on a year-end union break for the next couple of weeks. We'll be back to our daily newscasts and special reports on Monday, January 8th, 2018. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you very much for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.